Peter B. Collins News and Comment here on Friday, August 17.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. Oh, no, oh. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy.
San Francisco's six-month-old, well, gosh, it's 8 months now, a political soap opera that started on New Year's Eve, is still not complete. We haven't reached the final stages, but a critical stage, a juncture, was reached on Thursday when the San Francisco Ethics Commission reviewed and held its final hearing on the effort by the mayor, Ed Lee, to terminate the sheriff, Ross Mercurimi. Both were elected by the voters last November and had not taken office on New Year's Eve when Sheriff Mercurimi got into an argument with his wife, and her arm was bruised. A neighbor took a video of that, gave it to the police, and it created a Sturm und Drang that continues to this day. The sheriff didn't help his case, and as I've explained previously, I know Ross Mercurimi, and I was invited to work on his campaign for sheriff, and it didn't work out for various reasons. He is married to a Venezuelan soap opera star named Eliana Lopez, and that provided some additional drama as well. So over the last few months, Mercurimi pled guilty to a lesser charge of kidnapping. It's restraining somebody. And it's a misdemeanor that permitted him to keep his job and continue to pack a gun as the sheriff of the city and county of San Francisco. Just after he reached that plea bargain agreement, the mayor fired him. He notified him that if he wouldn't resign, he would take this process to terminate him. And the first step is to go to this ethics commission. Well, the mayor presented six groups of charges, essentially six counts against the sheriff. And four of those were rejected by the Ethics Commission, and I won't belabor those points right now. The two that were left standing were the question of whether Mercurimi physically abused his wife in grabbing her arm, which produced a bruise, and whether that amounted to official misconduct under the definition in the city charter. And I strongly argue that this does not meet the standard of official misconduct. It wasn't done either while he was in office or as anything related to his official duties. And so I believe that this is a political lynching of a progressive who is not popular with the establishment as represented by Mayor Ed Lee. And as I've pointed out in my previous comments here, Mayor Lee appears to have perjured himself before the very Ethics Commission that has now said that they found in a 4-1 vote that Mercurimi they found him guilty of official misconduct. But they did not reach a conclusion on whether he should be removed, and it appears that will remain on the agenda for a future meeting. The next step here is the Ethics Commission makes a referral to the elected Board of Supervisors, which has 11 members, nine of whom have to all vote to remove the sheriff, or nothing happens. So this process is not over. But this is a critical step. And I believe what we've witnessed here is a railroading where the domestic violence community, I think, has misjudged this issue. And in its zero-tolerance mode, has created a big mess. And I don't think a bruise on the arm, even with the allegations that they had fought before and that there was a previous girlfriend of Mercurimi's who had been pushed up against a wall, I don't think that amounts to a pattern of domestic violence. And I also don't think that it is germane to his service as the sheriff. And here in San Francisco, we have a long history of colorful elected officials who have bent the law. Willie Brown, who fathered a child with his fundraiser while he was mayor, admitted it, and it was a one-day story. Gavin Newsom, a more recent mayor, now the lieutenant governor of California, who had an affair with the wife of one of his top staff aides. And the history goes on and on. and And so this kind of selective, very high standard applied to Ross Mercurimi strikes me as extremely political. And I'm hoping that there aren't 9 votes on the Board of Supervisors where Mercurimi served until last December. I'm hoping there are not 9 votes to remove him. I've also mentioned that the San Francisco Chronicle has been bare-knuckled in its efforts to make these charges stick and get rid of Sheriff Mercurimi. The other liberal who is in their sights right now is Congressman Pete Stark, who has been in the House for a long, long time, 25 years, and he is 80 years old now. He is, I think, the only House member who's an acknowledged atheist, and he is a crusty guy. He has offended and stepped on a lot of toes over the years. And the Chronicle keeps recapping events that happened months ago where Stark, frankly, embarrassed himself. He said stupid things, and he did apologize for them, but they keep replaying them. And more recently, he harangued a former legislator, a California legislator, who called to tell Pete Stark that he was going to endorse his opponent. And that's pretty common behavior for Pete Stark. He's a guy with a temper. He throws crude language around very easily. But I don't think that means that he has to go. And I just think that the Chronicle newspaper, which is now under control of a publisher and editor who came in from Arizona a couple of years ago, is moving more and more to the right. I want to recommend for your weekend reading Glenn Greenwald's recent column published August 15 at Salon.com. He really is a bright man with critical thinking and deep legal analytical skills. And he talks about what he calls the sham terrorism expert industry. And he goes into some depth here to analyze for you the real risks that we face from terrorism here in the United States. And I just think that this is an article. It's lengthy and detailed, but it is well worth reading. And he makes a lot of points about how the so-called war on terrorism and the whole fear mentality are used to drive us to accept policies that are unconstitutional and unworkable, and that the bottom line is that we are not at great risk. And he cites a study called Homegrown Terrorists in the U.S. and U.K., which is published in 2009, an examination of 117 jihadist terrorists in the United States. And as I've argued many times, he points out that most of these were drummed up by the FBI with paid informants who infiltrated the groups and led them to attempt to commit crimes that they had no intention of before the FBI got involved. And I just think that Greenwald deserves a lot of credit for countering the whole prevailing mentality and challenging people to think clearly about these issues. And speaking of clear, critical analysis, I'd like you to listen to this clip from Ray McGovern. It's from the latest in-depth interview released at peterbcollins.com. It's part of the Boiling Frog series, co-hosted with Sibel Edmonds. Ray McGovern served for 27 years. He was a CIA analyst who delivered the daily presidential briefing back in the Reagan administration. And he is a clear critic of the expansion of power by President Obama, the killer capture program, the use of drones, the expansion of our war footprint around the world. Listen to this excerpt from our interview with Ray McGovern.
Well, Peter B., I find it appalling, but I find it incredibly reflective of the title of your program, Boiling Frog. That's what we've got here. We've had, over the last 10 years, a steady erosion in the respect paid to our Constitution to the point where, you know, the first one has been infringed upon, the First Amendment, free speech and assembly, and then the fourth one, well, they can come, the fourth one is supposed to protect against unreasonable searches and seizures. Right. That's passé. And now the fifth, of course, guarantees all persons the right not to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one would have thought that from the lawyers, from the judges, from the law school teachers and professors, that there would have been an outcry here saying, what? What is this? You, the President of the United States, arrogating to yourself the authority to kill without due process, to eliminate American citizens, and find that a, quote, easy decision, end quote? What really is going on here? You can't do that. Now, I'll just insert parenthetically here that I am in a real quandary, Peter B., because as an Army officer, I took a solemn oath, okay, and that oath was to defend, was to support and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yeah.
Now, I've checked into that, and that oath has no expiration date. I mean, I knew that when I took it. I never thought that I would be challenged with the question of what my appropriate response to this is. There are several fellow Army officers and others. There are millions of people in this country who have served in the federal government, not only in the armed services, who took that oath. Now, are we to sit back and say, oh, well, you know, that was then, and times have changed, and as Gonzalez told us, that's an old paradigm. We have a new paradigm now. And I don't think so.
Subscribers can hear the full interview with Ray McGovern right now at peterbcollins.com. And if you're not a subscriber, jump on board. I can use your help to support our efforts here and keep the Peter B. Collins podcast coming. All the details are on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. And our subscriptions now start at just a dollar for a 24-hour pass, $5 a month, or $50 a year. You choose. Violence across the Middle East and the war zone. 11 are killed as an American copter is shot down in Afghanistan. That's 7 American troops. We're losing about 1 American a day in Afghanistan right now. In Lebanon, the Syrian civil war is bleeding through as kidnappings expand, and Lebanon, which has always been heavily influenced by Syria, is seeing violence expand there. In Syria itself, fighter jets bomb a rebel town called Azaz. More than 20 people were killed. The UN is pulling out, and that violence will continue. And in Pakistan, Taliban gunmen pulled 22 people, Shiites, off of a bus in remote northern Pakistan and mowed them down with gunfire. And against that backdrop of a Middle East with hot wars, I continue to deplore Israel's rants about attacking Iran. It is just senseless at this particular time. And a sane voice emerges in Jerusalem as Shimon Peres, the elder statesman and president of Israel, celebrated his 89th birthday and gave an interview to a television channel. He says that he is against a solo Israeli military strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. His message contradicts the hawkish go-it-alone line emanating from the offices of Israel's prime minister and defense minister. The president's comments came amid a wave of speculation in Israel and abroad that Netanyahu and his defense minister, Barak, might be weighing the option of a unilateral strike even before our November elections. And Peres pushes back. He says, we can delay. It's clear to us that we have to proceed together with America. Now, I'm not too excited about being drawn into this. But anything that delays Netanyahu's trigger finger is welcome in my view. And Peres has to tread a fine line because of the divisive politics in Israel. But I give him credit for having the courage to speak out. And finally today, there's a Tea Party congressman from Texas, a Republican named Francisco Kiko Canseco. And we have a point of agreement. He hates the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA. And he's had a couple of incidents at the San Antonio airport with TSA officers and officials. In one incident, he stopped a pat-down search in the middle as the men patting him down approached his crotch. And then a few days later, April 22nd of this year, he was reportedly randomly selected for additional screening of his carry-on items. He became angry. A San Antonio police officer was summoned, and after lengthy discussion, he reluctantly consented to the search of his belongings. Now, I don't know all the details here, but I welcome anyone who challenges the mythology, the political theater of airport security. We are wasting billions of dollars. We delay people. We infuriate them. We add to their contempt for authority and law enforcement. It is a huge shakedown, not just a pat-down. And I fear that we will never roll back the hardening of our airports. We're vulnerable in so many other ways to attack, to terrorism, to people with assault rifles at Batman movies. But we have chosen to turn our airports into maximum security facilities. And as Glenn Greenwald pointed out in the article that I mentioned earlier in this comment, the risk of a terrorist attack killing an American is minuscule. More people die from tornadoes or other extreme weather events than from terrorism. And that's even when you factor in the deaths of 9/11. Will we ever get rational? The cynic in me says, ain't no way. Thanks for listening. Visit peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until